Welcome to Impact Investing TV show.
We show you solutions to global environmental and social challenges to inspire you for actions towards the SDGs.
You will also learn the best way to invest your money and create impact while making profit.
Let's discover impact investing world and true sustainability right now. Hi, and welcome to Swiss Impact with Banerjees, Season 6.
Welcome, welcome. And this season is about impact investments in times of crisis.
And congratulations. We have received so many amazing reactions from all over the world from our audience. Thank you for supporting us and watching us. Did you know that curve of reputation is directly proportional to the curve of remembrance?
What?
Meaning that the more we repeat the message, longer will people remember our message and act on it.
Okay, now got it. Now it's indeed very true. And this is the reason why we repeat some messages in our show many, many times. And one of our messages is also this: if you're a business or impact investment company seeking for funds or outreach branding in impact investing space, then please contact us at apply@isolutions.ch. As for now, let's start with the inspiring story, Ben. What did you prepare for today?
Oh, I just wanted to keep it short. Today, it's about our identity.
Today, you're speaking in puzzles. What do you mean?
So, one of the ways we know how we evolve as humans or as a species or how we develop is we are how we treat our fellow species or fellow travelers on this big rock hurtling through the empty space.
You mean animal kingdom? Who are also, by the way, Earthlings living on the planet Earth, just like us and yourself.
And yes, if you look at how we, as humans, have been treating animals around the world, whether the birds in the air, animals on land, and in water, with each and every passing day, we are committing genocides, species by species, without any care or empathy or sympathy. Most strange is that we are even well aware that this will wipe us, humans, out, but we are still going on at ever-increasing speed.
And that is why I question the level of our development or evolution as humans. Being one of the youngest species claiming to be sentient, we are also the most destructive. So thank you, Ben, for this story. And on this note, I'd like to invite our honored guest of today, who is absolutely honorable and a true leader in every sense of this word. Welcome, Her Excellency Mrs. Maneka Gandhi, the longest serving member of the Indian Parliament and chairperson of People for Animals.
Hello.
Hello and welcome, Maneka G. Thank you so much for joining us today. And hopefully you will share a lot of inspiring stories with us today. Before we start, I'd like to introduce you a bit more to our audience who doesn't know you so well yet, especially the ones living outside of India. So Miss Maneka Sanjay Gandhi has single-handedly created the climate for animal welfare in India. Your ambulances and hospitals save over 5,000 animals every single day. And next to that, you have been also at the core of initiating most of Indian environmental laws. Your law book is taught in universities and used as the only guide for courts on the subject of animal welfare. That's not all. Your list of accomplishments on this topic goes on and on and on, from creating environmental awareness, legislations to fighting illegal slaughterhouses and wildlife trade, to promoting vegetarianism, ending bullfighting in Goa, and slaughtering of dancing bears. So I think that on behalf of every animal lover, I can say that you are a true leader and an example for the next generation. So we are thrilled to have you with us today. Thank you again.
Okay. Thank you.
So let's start first a little bit about your introduction. So what inspired you to create the first animal shelter in India in 1980, which is long, long time back?
When I was always rescuing animals, always. And my husband died when I was 23 years old, and my child was 100 days. And he left me the huge sum, I'm being sarcastic, of 800,000 rupees. So I sort of thought, I'm not going to be able to do anything with this money. So why don't I just build a hospital? So we got a bit of land, and we built the first animal hospital in it. We couldn't afford an architect. We couldn't afford a contractor. So we just did it ourselves at the age of 23. And I named it after my husband, the Sanjay Rani Animal Care Center, and started working, rescuing animals. And it was supposed to actually just take in, a couple of hundred animals, because we didn't have the money for more. We didn't have the money for one ambulance either. But slowly, slowly, God provides. I can't say I do any of it. It's actually the universe that steps in and says that, okay, now we'll do it for you. So that's how it began. And then when I built this one shelter, then I understood what I'd done wrong, what I'd done right. And then I started helping people to build shelters. And slowly, slowly, it expanded all over India. So now I have 26 of my own, and, hopefully 4 more this year. And we also help other people when they want to have shelters. We then give them donations, raise money for them, talk to donors, etc. The idea is there are 700 districts in India, and there are no government, there's no government infrastructure for animals. So we try and get in there so that we establish some kind of infrastructure for when an animal has an accident, when he's sick. That's how I started.
Thank you. It's amazing. It's really amazing. And what has been the impact of your work as a minister in the Union Cabinet on animal welfare?
Well, the sad part is that when I was Minister for Animal Welfare, which was about 15 years ago or 20 years ago, and I was there for 5 years. And then after that, they actually integrated that into the Ministry for Environment. So it doesn't exist anymore. But while I was there, we did different things. For instance, all the products in India now have a green and red dot to see whether they're vegetarian or non-vegetarian. For me, environment, trees, animals, vegetarianism, veganism are all the same. So we just approach the problem from many different ways. And the problem, the core is kindness. So we stopped wild animals in circuses. In fact, most of circuses in India have to be shut down. We stopped the municipal killing of dogs, which we used to kill, I think, about a couple of 100,000 every year by, poison, by throwing them into wells, bludgeoning them to death for no reason. So we stopped and we replaced it with the sterilization program, which is working very well. And I set the Wildlife Act into order. We started the Central Zoo Authority to negotiate how zoos could become better. Personally, I'm totally against zoos. But if nobody else is going to shut them down, then we might as well make them better. There were about a couple of hundred things like that.
I was just thinking of asking you, what are the most significant changes you have seen in the way people treat animals when you started and people treat animals today?
Well, when I started, people used to think that only little old ladies or widows or women who were rich did animals, as a hobby. And now it's so much a part of everybody's life. It's not that people don't hate animals and they're not mean to them or they don't eat them. But everybody now knows that there's a very strong, very robust animal movement. And, we go on the streets, people come out themselves. You have people who don't have money themselves who come out at night and feed the street animals with whatever they have. And it's much more joyous. To give you an example, I was in Nepal to set up the vegan movement there. And what was amazing was that the people who were there, there were about 300 vegans, led by generals in the army. It was so amazing. Nepal. And so now we have, you know, colonels in the army in India are not afraid to say, yes, we love animals. And no, we will not tolerate unkindness. We have people who very proudly say we are vegan. Before, it used to be embarrassing. You know, it was regarded as macho for men to eat meat. Whereas now it isn't. It isn't. In fact, our prime minister is vegetarian. Most of the cabinet is vegetarian. And they say it proudly. So it's a different ball game now. But when I started, people used to think I used to do animal welfare because I was widowed. I had nothing better to do. Yeah. I should
So I can just join the club, you know, being vegan, and that it was not cool being vegan when just started. You know, it was like, oh no, I need to say that I don't eat meat. They will look strange at me, you know. But now it's really becoming much easier, and you can say it out loud. Please share with us also more about Sanjay Gandhi Animal Center, which also is taking care of animals, of course, and like what kind of animals you have there, how many animals?
Well, the Sanjay Gandhi Animal Care Center is the largest perhaps in Asia. It was always. And now when we finished rebuilding it, because we knocked it down 2 years ago, it just wasn't big enough. We made it, as I said, for 200 animals. And at any given time, we have now between 7,000 to 10,000.
Wow.
We have everything ranging from camels to white mice. The government, in fact, has shut down 79 of their own animal clinics because they use my shelter for free.
That's very useful, of course. Does government support you for that, at least?
It's very annoying. So they will come in the morning, the police will come in and then bring in 40 buffaloes saying we confiscated those. And, you know, then he's just all panic. Oh my God, we're going to put them. And then the other day, somebody came in with 200 ducks. Or people will keep cats in their homes. And then when two cats turn into 45, they'll return, you know, and they leave them at the gate. So we knocked it down because I just was so fed up with creating new rooms every, you know, 10 minutes and panicking.
Yeah.
So we are now building a huge, big composite. Mm-hmm. Our camel, for the first time outside Rajasthan, a camel gave birth. So we welcomed a little baby camel day before yesterday to the shelter.
Cool. Congratulations.
Yeah. Probably both love reading. The camels, you know, they are being smuggled every day to Bangladesh. And from 100,000 camels, they eat them. So we have a very strong camel smuggling system here. And so I try and rescue them from all over India, wherever we find them. And so we are happy to be breeding them.
Okay. And you mentioned that the government closed all the clinics. Do they financially support you then?
No, not at all. We have no financial support from the government. We just get their animals. So they pick up a wounded peacock and shove it by. Or they're closing a lake down, so they'll give us all the, you know, the ducks. So we get no financial support from them. And we don't get it from institutions per se. We have to keep begging for it. So, and we are
relying on donations currently. Is it correct?
Sorry?
You're relying on donations currently.
That's right. And we're the cheapest in India. We charge, we either do our rescues for free if they're street animals. And if it's an owned animal, then we charge the huge sum of 300 rupees, which is about, what, $3.
Yeah.
And then we do the treatment for you.
Can you please tell us something about your financial requirements? So for the Sanjay Gandhi Animal Center, how much do you need per year?
Well, we, at the moment, we need for finishing the buildings. We have, it's already about half or maybe 60% complete. But we're really on edge at the moment to find the rest of it. So we need about 10 crores to finish it. 1 crore is...
How much is it in...
1 crore is...
One crore
is 120,000. Yeah, it's like 120,000 francs. So 10 crore is 1.2 million francs, I think.
Is it in rupees or in...
In rupees.
So 1.2 million rupees or 1.2 million dollars? That's a
dollars. Dollars.
Wait, okay. One 100,000 rupees makes a lakh, and 100 lakhs make a crore.
So 10 million is a crore. Yeah.
10 million is a crore.
So it's okay.
So we need approximately that much to finish it, because we're making different, it's areas for monkeys. We get a lot of monkeys who've been electrocuted, who people have hit with stones and have lost an arm. We get birds. At the moment, I have about 800 birds who have... I know the scale is so frightening that we just don't think about it. We just do it. But it's not just one hospital now. Now I have 26. And I'm going now to Durk to lay the foundation stone for our 27th. Mm-hmm. So you need
this 1.2 million to finish the building of this present hospitals. But and going forward, do you also need per year certain amount?
Well, we can sort of be sustainable. As long as we get the equipment, we can then sustain ourselves. So I'm not going to be asking for, that. Because if we can't sustain ourselves, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
Any hospital has to be able to sustain itself without being expensive. So what we will do is we'll have India's only dialysis room. We'll put in a lab. We'll have a little shop for medicines. So we'll put in all the, things, apparatuses, so that we earn enough money. But I do need the building money.
Okay, right. That's it. Okay.
And a question came up to my mind. Do you also release animals when they were street animals that you could kill them? Then you release them. Otherwise, where do you keep them?
No, and it's something I really hate is a cage. I really hate a cage. No. So for me to keep an animal just because it's not worth, it's with me forever. No, we release them right back, even street animals, when they get well. Mm-hmm. We put them back exactly in the same spot that we found. The only difference is we make sure by sending somebody in advance that there will be somebody to look after them. So we put them back with carers.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's great. Let's talk about the next project, an animal hospital and rescue shelter, which you want to build.
That's the same one we're talking about.
That's this one. Okay. I understand. Okay.
I want to build 4 more. Kashmir needs to have an animal hospital. Now we've got the land. We have to build there. So I'm going to go out with the begging bone after that. I'm going to have to go 700 minus 26 times with a begging bone out to the world. So that by the time, if I die, there will be enough infrastructure to replace me.
And how much would you require for this?
What, for the whole lot?
Yeah.
Billion. Who knows? Well, per hospital, we require 1 crore.
Okay, yes. That's 120,000. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, how about staff? Where do you find the doctors? Are they willing to come to work for you, or is it difficult to get stuff?
No, doctors come happily. They stay with us till they get government jobs, and then they run away in the middle of the night. So, because in government job, you never have to work again. You just get a salary and a pension and live happily ever after. Whereas in my hospital, you work all the time. We house our doctors in the same complex. So because we have night crises also, we do 24 hours. We're never shut. And we get most of our problems at night because the accident cases all come in at night. But yes, we have very good doctors. I have, at the moment, I think I have 13. We fluctuate depending on who's leaving, who's coming in. But I have a total staff of 130 in this hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So, because there's so many animals.
Yep.
Yes. And but can you share with us some story, maybe the most heart-touching story for you about an animal which you experienced? Maybe how animals are grateful after they are saved. Like, do you feel this from the animal?
You know, every single animal is important to me, everyone. But last year, we got a dog who had no face. The entire face had been eaten up by maggots. And if you see the picture, which I'll send you if you like, the whole thing was just crawling with beasties, you know, maggots. And he had no face. There were no eyes. There was nothing. And anybody else would have put him to sleep. So we put him into the home. We took out the maggots one by one and then put him into somebody's house instead of the hospital. And slowly, slowly, the face came back. He healed. And even an eye came back. And now he watches television. He's out of home. He loves everyone. He loves it. He can't somehow believe his luck, you know? But it made me believe how strong and how resilient, how much animals want to live. Imagine a human being whose entire face had been eaten with maggots. He would have killed himself.
Yeah.
But animal wanted to live. No face or no face. You know, we were feeding him through here because he had no face, he had no mouth.
Yeah.
So
I kind of imagine what they.
You know, they're not only are they sentient, but they are so much more in love with the earth than we are. You know, I don't think I would feel too bad if I died, because all I'm full of pain, and my sense of attachment to my life is limited. But I see this animal in total desperate need, and he's still fighting.
Yeah,
you know, the cow that you're taking for slaughter, the goat. You imagine how much they love being alive and how we kill them. In my constituency house, I had 200 chickens, which we rescued from various illegal chicken shops. And when they come, they develop personalities. One of them is called Shiva, because he likes shooting all the others. So they become exactly like human beings. You have them flirting, you have them telling lies, you have them. You have alpha chickens. You have them. The one, you know, when I hold, when people come and see me on the table outside and I'm talking to them, one chicken will definitely jump on the table and take part in the conversation.
Well, next time for the TV show, we invite some more animals around you. That would be cool.
Yeah.
And can you tell us something about your cow shed's design and concept?
Well, we have a goshala. And we, you know, most goshalas in India have built really badly. So we have built a goshala in the sense that people can come in, feed them the animals themselves. And we save a lot of money because people like feeding, people like giving if they can do it themselves. But more than that, we have made India's only book on goshalas. And we send it around all over India because most people think they're doing a great thing by just imprisoning a couple of hundred cows so that they stand till they die. And just by feeding them raw or dried grass. And, you know, cows are just as sentient as anybody else. And they get very upset. So we do a lot of literature making, which we then spread. We have the only book in the world which shows you how to make and run a shelter. How to make and run a cow shed. You know, a cow, what we call goshala. Cow home. And we have the only animal law book, which is now used by judges. Here, this is it.
Wow. That's a tiny book.
This is it.
So, and you should read it. You love reading such big books, right?
And send it to bed. And it probably cost me more than the book covers by Korea. But we make these all the time because people want information. You know, you could have a good heart, but unless you know the science of it and you know how to do it, your compassion also dries up. So we actually train, and that is, we come to the third part of my begging bowl, which is, we have been training people for a long time. We train judges, we train teachers, we train students. Most of all, we train the police, because the police are our backbone when people break the law, as they do all the time. When I was setting up for this show, in between saying hello, hello, before you came on, I had to cut the call because we caught a truck. We were we're chasing a truck at the moment in Bihar, which is taking cows for slaughter to Bangladesh. So I was on the phone with the police saying, this is the police station, it's passing by, and this is a live, please catch it. So we do that. I do that the whole night, every night. We go out to smugglers. So to come back to what I was saying is, third part.
The Kingston Project, right? Is the third one.
Is a trading project. Yes. We want 1 crore again for 2 years, because we'd like to
go 1 crore.
120,000 franc.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. For 2 years, we would like to train as many people as possible. So we have about 500 training programs. For instance, I'm going now to Bombay to train the police there. And we train the police all over. And then we train principals of schools, we train judges most of all. We're trying to get the whole legal system. When I was in India, we requested all the law colleges in India to set up one subject as animal law, and they all agreed. So now I often go to law colleges to teach them why they are teaching this subject, so that they know what they're doing. We have our first PhDs in law, in animal law now.
Education is the key. We believe in that as well. You know, if they don't know how to deal with that, then they will not do it right, the right thing. Right? So it's very important for education. And I want to ask you also about your social media outreach. Like, do you also have different websites and presence in Facebook, Instagram, wherever? Someone is helping you with that?
Yes, we do. We have a lot of young people who come in. You know, it's beyond me to understand how to do it. Yeah, but our young people are born with these things wired into their brains. So we have a website called peopleforanimalsindia.org. Mm-hmm. And we have an Instagram. It's big. And we have a Twitter. Not so big, but yes. And we have a Facebook. But more than me, I have 120 units across India, and each one of them has their own, you know, People for Animals, yeah. Bombay, People for Animals, Bangalore.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. They have their own. For instance, People for Animals, Bangalore and People for Animals, Wardha run the only two wildlife hospitals in India. So they only talk about wildlife and how they, you know, get what they have. Yeah.
And what do you believe of the impact for future generations will be from this three project? If you get the money, and I believe you will, so what will be the impact?
Well, the training alone will have a major, major impact, because I used to have a TV show called Heads and Tails, which ran for 5 years. And it turned thousands of people vegetarian, because we used to show how a chicken became a chicken sandwich. No, and we also used to sell good things. Mm-hmm. So people still walk up to me and say, I'm vegetarian because of you. So any kind of training, any kind of education has a huge impact. So that would be, and Sanjay Gandhi if it becomes the biggest and the best hospital, serves as a benchmark. I don't want animal hospitals to be hole in the corner things. I want them to be, you know, really good hospitals, professional,
yeah,
and competent and clean and run by professionals. So we'd be able to make this into a teaching hospital as well. And the third thing, that, which is, what was the third thing that we were asking for? Hospital.
The education.
Veterinary college. Ben, how could I forget? The veterinary college.
Yeah.
Our veterinary colleges are the worst in the world. And I say this with full responsibility. So what I really want to do is, I want to start, because if we don't have good vets, there's nothing I can do for animals. Vets are playing, you know, vanguard.
Yeah, yeah.
Our infantry, cavalry.
Yeah.
So, but the vets now, they enter, they become vets because they have nothing better to do. They failed at every other subject, virtually. But they're good people. They just don't come from very, you know, backgrounds that they want to be with animals. They want a job. They want to be a doctor. And it's easier to be a vet in this country than it is to be anything else. So they come and sit. We don't have many colleges. But each college is a bit of a disaster. And so at the end of the day, it doesn't produce people who know or want to know medicine. And once they finish and they get their basic degree, they never have to sit for an exam again. So what they know at the age of 21, they will know at the age of 51 or 71, even though, you know, everything's moved ahead. So what I want to do is to change the world by making a veterinary college that will be very high-end. It will only attract people who want to be vets. We will get our staff in the beginning from abroad so that they can teach Indians.
Yeah.
Because what's happening in veterinary colleges here is a veterinary student becomes a veterinary teacher. So, you know, he just gushes out whatever's been put into him, which is that principle, garbage in, garbage out. And that's unfortunately, they have all, the syllabus is geared towards making animals for slaughter. So it's not about animals. Most vets don't even see animals as animals. They see them as money. Mm-hmm. So they have no idea that an animal actually is sentient.
Mm-hmm.
They've been taught in college that how to artificially inseminate them, how to send them into a slaughterhouse, how we should. So in fact, most vets,
even those ears that my ears are, you know, we say is, they're turning inside. I don't want to hear those. It's
I don't want to say it also, because I'm supposed to say wonderful things about everything in India. But the truth is that if we had one veterinary college, which did extremely well, every veterinary college would do extremely well. And we could change the world that way. So that is really important. And I would like somebody to come in as an investor, not as a grant. Mm-hmm. I will give the land free. So we are not looking for a grant. We're looking for an investor who will come and start it as a commercial enterprise. And it pays money almost immediately. I will give the land for free, which is a big deal because we're the most populous country in the world. So land is, you know, wanted per square inch. Mm-hmm. But we'll give that. And we will put the most wonderful people on the board. We will get the permissions. The government of India has, we can do it either with this way, that we, an investor comes in and sets up with us. Or we could do it, the government of India has just recently made a new law allowing foreign colleges, universities to come into India.
Okay.
So if we could find a veterinary college that would like to set up in India, again, I would be completely at their disposal. Because this is what I mean by infrastructure, not just starting hospitals. And because again, the vets in those hospitals are the same that we have to deal with from those same colleges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could really do colleges and hospitals and training, I would think that my life might be worth something. Otherwise, it's a waste of my life.
Yeah. I'm sure it's already completely in the history of India, and you left your footprint, positive one, on the planet. But of course, you can do even more. Everyone has everyone.
And can you give us an indication of the amount necessary for the college?
That's an expensive project. It's about 51 crores.
I think I answered
51 into 120 francs.
Yeah, it's 160,000.
Yeah. That it's expensive because any educational institution is expensive to set up.
Six million.
Okay.
But it will repay itself within 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
So, and more importantly, it will change India. A small story, you can edit it out. We used to have the worst law colleges in the whole country, I think the whole world. You didn't have to attend class, you just paid a nominal amount, became a lawyer, and then, you know, bullshitted your way through the rest of your life. But one senior lawyer of ours got really fed up with this. So he started a law college in Bangalore, which was very high-end, charged huge fees, took probably the best from the best families. And within 2 years, every law college pulled up its socks. Mm-hmm. And now there is not a single law college of the many hundred there are, which is even mediocre. They're all brilliant. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'd like to do. And if we get in at the ground floor, there are only 33 veterinary colleges in India. Brazil, which has the same, you know, demand as us, has 600 veterinary colleges, and we have 33. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of space, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And do you need an investor who just gives funding, or you need an investor who comes and sits with you and runs the hospital and does everything together with you?
Oh, I could do what an investor would come and sit with me. But even if it's just an investor who gives the funding, I'm grateful. I mean, we're not, you know, whichever way it goes.
We need staff,
you know? Will be able to be our face in Europe or America and say that, you know, these people need you to come for 2 years or 3 years, and we pay them well, and they come, they live well, and they teach.
Oh, I mean, they live well for sure. The food is amazing.
Exactly. So, but if it is just a financial investor, then you have the management team, the operational team, and everything in place.
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect. Okay.
Great. Mrs. Her Excellency, how should I name you? Amazing guest of ours. We are running out of time. And that was so good to have you with us and talk about these issues, but also solutions. There are solutions. You're already part of the solution. And I'm sure it will grow and you will be able to achieve the impact you want to achieve. Can you please share last call to action message for our global audience? What would you like to say?
It would be to become vegan. That is my most important message. We have to stop eating animals. And we have to understand that methane is far, far worse for the world than even carbon dioxide. If we can understand that, and that the fact that it comes from mainly animals that we grow for slaughter, then we'd be able to stop climate change. We'd be able to save the forests. We'd be able to be kind. That's the most important thing in the world. If we're not kind to animals, how can we be kind to each other? And I simply don't understand a being, a human, who spends his whole day eating animals and then at night asks God to do something wonderful for him and to create magic for him. Even God can't do that.
That's so true.
That's such a powerful message. Thank you so very much for sharing.
Thank you, Manekaji.
Thank you for inviting me. I was so happy to meet Ben in India. And I'm so happy to meet both of you. Maybe we'll meet again one day.
It was my privilege.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
We will come to you.
Yes.
Bye for now.
Bye for now. Dear viewers, with this is the second episode of season 6. Next week, we will be back with another amazing guest. If you like our program or want to learn more about impactful businesses, funds, projects, in education, animal protection, whatever is your heart is beating for, then subscribe to our YouTube channel or watch us on smart TVs and podcasts.
And we invite all impactful businesses who are seeking investment or support to our TV show so that they can receive the financial support or any other resources they're looking for. It's not hard to act.
Just give your heart to impact.
Bye for now.
Hey, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Impact Investing TV Show. Make sure you subscribe to our channel not to miss any future episodes.
Leave us some feedback and get in touch with us if you want to be our next TV show guest.
And find us on TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Spotify, podcasts, and any of your favorite social media places.
And join the awesome Impact community. We look forward to sharing the next episode with you. And remember, it's not hard to act.
Just give your heart to impact.